It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to our show. Thank you so much for listening and for telling a friend. Today we're speaking with Dr. Paul Selecki, the director of Hogue's pulmonary department and a diplomat of the American Board of Sleep Disorders. We're delighted to have him on the show today to be with you and to share some tips and expertise with you. Welcome back, Dr. Selecki.
Nice to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Anytime. Now, not all states change clocks to follow daylight savings time. So if you're in Hawaii, you may not need these tips. But for most of us, we'll spring ahead and fall back with the change of seasons. Now, you'd think that with only 1 hour of change, this wouldn't throw us off like it does. But people really are affected by this, aren't they?
Yes, they are. It depends upon what their sleep patterns are before this. But if interest it was not unique to the United States. It actually was proposed by Benjamin Franklin in the late 1700s as the first ambassador to France, in which he recommended that they create a system by which the patients go to sleep when it gets at sunset and wake up at sunrise. And he estimated there'd be annual saving of 64 million pounds in cattle wax.
The candle wax.
They didn't actually pursue that, but daylight saving time, and by the way, it's saving time, not savings time. Everybody makes that up. Started during World War I here in the United States as a goal to decrease the amount of electricity that was used by having people have more hours of daylight. And that has taken over the country. At you point out, Hawaii has not accepted it. Arizona has not either. And so it's interesting, you can fly from Arizona here, and it seems like the flight only takes 15 minutes, but that's because you have the hour change.
Exactly. Now, I promised you'd have some tips on how to adjust more easily to the time change, if you'd be so kind.
Yes. The idea is to try to help move your biological clock a little at a time instead of the usual habit of going to bed on Saturday night at, say, 11 o'clock and say, oh, I got to push the time ahead, and you've already lost that hour.
Yeah.
So it's suggested one approach might be, for example, is to change that clock in the middle of the afternoon or the evening and then follow that new setting instead of waiting until. So you'd be going to bed at 11 by standard time. You're now going to go to bed at 11 by daylight saving time. Another approach is to go to bed about 15, 20 minutes earlier. And this is helpful for children as well, starting on Thursday night.
Okay.
And do that again on Saturday, Friday night, and Saturday night, and you've already helped to move your biological clock to the new time set. And the other is to gain exposure to daylight within the first hour of awakening on Sunday, for example, and again on Monday, because that helps anchor the biological clock that this is the new time, and that it'll be much easier to make that transition. But of interest, it does disturb some people's sleep. There's a statistical increase in automobile accidents on Monday morning, on heart attacks the first week of daylight saving time.
Really?
Suicide has been shown to have a little blip during that time. Obviously, these problems existed before, and the lack of sleep just somehow worsened it.
Yeah, that was the tipping point for some people. So good to know. It's not just something we laugh about, and, oh, I'm going to be late for my aerobics class because I forgot to set my clock. But, I mean, there are some real effects.
Indeed.
Now, these tips can also be useful to you if you're traveling, right? I mean, for instance, my husband always says when he travels to the Far East on business, just to use the sunrise as your guide. Keep your curtains open in the hotel room. When the sun comes up, it'll naturally help you wake up in the new time zone. Would you concur, or do you have other methods of adjusting when you travel?
No, I think that is a good pattern to follow. It is generally easier for us or anyone to fly westward instead of eastward because the clock is more in our favor. If you fly from here to New York City and you need to get up for your activities of the day, you're sleep deprived to start with.
Right.
Whereas with flying west, that's much easier to make that change because it's less of an impact on your sleep.
And also,
the goal would be if you're going to get to this new country, you need to try to adopt to their time relatively quickly.
Right.
And just like light exposure is important and get up in the morning after daylight saving time, it would be important at that new time clock also.
I also like to set my watch on the plane so that I already feel like I'm in the new time zone well before I'm there.
Good idea.
Now, what is the difference between insomnia and chronic insomnia?
Well, we've all had insomnia from time to time where we have trouble falling asleep because we're worried about sickness in the family or my relatives are coming and I better clean the house or whatever it would be.
Yeah, sure.
And then it goes away when that stressful period goes away. Chronic insomnia is someone who has had a chronic problem of insomnia for, by definition, 3 weeks or longer. For many patients, it's months and years.
Mm-hmm.
Either difficulty falling asleep or waking in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep.
Right.
It becomes a perpetuating kind of habit. The individual knows he had poor sleep last night and expects it to happen, or is not surprised if it happens tonight. We work with them on using cognitive behavioral therapy to change their sleep pattern, because they're often perpetuating the problem by their habits.
Okay, that's fair enough, and you know, it's something you really need to take a look at, and in your own household. If anybody you think you know, might be approaching chronic insomnia, they need to see their doctor.
Well, you speak to that. I mean, the issue is not unique to adults, because it occurs in children and teenagers. Teenagers are chronically sleep-deprived,
mm-hmm.
because their biological clock doesn't allow them to fall asleep until 11 or 12 at night.
Right.
And bothers parents. You're supposed to be sleeping because they're up at 6 o'clock for school, so they're
sure.
chronically sleep-deprived. And if they come out for a sport, my son was in swimming, so he had to hit that pool at 5:36 in the morning. And you can understand why they're sleepy in the afternoon. So sleep must be a family event that constantly, just like you do on diet and other things, for good health.
Is it physically true that teenagers medically need more sleep than people of other ages?
Oh, yes, but so do children. I mean, the six-year-old needs 12 hours of sleep.
Wow.
The teenager gets less, but needs less. It's more like 10 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But you think, gee, they look like adults. They're that tall. They're starting to shave. Yeah, I know, but they aren't fully adults yet.
Okay.
And as I pointed out, we as adults should be getting 8 hours of sleep.
Right. Now, do you have a surefire way of turning off your brain at night so you can just relax and fall into a deep sleep?
Well, the variety of ways it can be done. First off is to try to wind down your activities maybe the hour before bedtime, not work, 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 and, oh, I got to get to bed,
mm-hmm.
To get your body to relax, and to use the bed only for sleep and intimacy, but not for reading, not for watching television for periods of time. It should be a psychological clue that this bed is a place for sleeping. Sometimes people may read a page or two, and that helps them, and that's their bedtime cue.
Mm-hmm.
Or others may meditate, say some prayers, reflect on scripture, or just try to zone themselves down. Often relaxation techniques can be used to enable sleep to occur. The operative verb here is enable. You can't make yourself sleep.
Right, right.
And people want a sleeping pill to make it all go away. And if you just show me a pill that will shut off my brain, Doc, I'll be fine. There isn't such a pill.
Exactly.
Sleeping pills are helpful, but they must be used in conjunction with behavioral changes as well in most patients.
And they're not really a curative. And over time, as you've mentioned before, the effects begin to wear off on the sleeping pills. They're not quite as effective.
That's exactly right. The body metabolizes the drug relatively quickly, so chronically nightly use of a sleeping pill, often within 2 weeks, it's lost its pharmacologic effectiveness and is playing the role of psychological effectiveness.
Right. It becomes a placebo, right. What are some good sleep habits to have year-round?
Well, I think it would be important to follow our ancestors that you pointed out before. We can stay up later than they did because we have electricity, but we have to have a regular bedtime every night relative to your needs, the same wake time 7 days a week. Don't change it on Saturday and Sunday because it alters your biological clock. Use the bedroom primarily for sleep, as I indicated. Make a rather bedtime ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the bed is, and the room is the right temperature, sound, and light that suits you. Bed partners might have to compromise on that. Avoid caffeine in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, but not near bedtime, maybe about 4 to 6 hours before bedtime, so that you don't interfere with the natural cooling process that takes place as you approach mm-hmm. sleep.
That's where I fall down. I like to exercise right before bed.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. You think, okay. Oh, I got to get it done, but then you get your body all keyed up.
Okay.
And, of course, get outside to daylight when you awaken on your way to work or school or whatever during the day.
Some great, great tips. Now, I've never been able to fall asleep on an airplane, no matter how long the flight. Do you have any tricks up your sleeve for that?
Well, short-acting sleeping pills can help, especially on long trips. Going, 10, 11 hours over to Europe from here, something
mm-hmm.
of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you have to be careful. Do not combine that with alcohol.
Right.
And you don't want to take a long-acting sleeping pill because it may still be in your body when you arrive the next morning or the next at your destination, whatever that would be.
Right.
So I think it's if you can get first class, or you can get one of those chair seats that are end up being flat, you'd do better. But not all of us have that privilege.
Thank you so much, Dr. Solecki. Always a total pleasure to have you on the show.
And we wish you a good night's sleep.
Thank you so much. You can download, this show anytime onto your iPhones, your Shuffles, and give this valuable information to your friends so they can listen to it whenever they have time. It's Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. There's much, much more to come.